How you guys doing so far? Pretty good, huh? First thing I want to do before I start, I'm going to share just a little bit before we get into some like interview-style testimonies. And what I want to share is 4 years ago. Oh man, I'm going to get emotional. I knew I would, but I was hoped it was just for worship. But anyway, 4 years ago, I accepted the role to be the high school director here at CPC, and this is my first class right here. Yeah, and I'm really proud of you guys. I wouldn't say this about all the classes, but you're like, I'll see you next year, saying the same thing. No. This class has such an anointing over them. Like, the people who are coming out of this are so anointed. And you're going to hear from five of them, but this is not exhaustive of who this class is. It's legit. So I'm excited, but first I want to share a little bit right before we get started. And I just want to open with a tension that I feel like we have as followers of Jesus. And that tension is that we feel like we need to know more information about God, like more theology, more church history, like more knowledge about different biblical texts or whatever in order to share our faith. So we feel like we need more knowledge about God in order to share our faith. And through the arc of history, from the time that these biblical characters were alive until now, it's not been that way. See, the reality is that people actually need to experience God and then they will grow in knowledge. I hear it all the time. I hear people tell me, like, if I just knew more about God, then I would follow him. Or if I just knew more about God, then I would share my faith. But that's not how it's been. Like, if you think about key biblical characters, and then if you think specifically about the Gospels, Jesus just walks up to people, they experience his power, and they drop everything and they follow him. They don't even know the guy. And so for us, like, we live in an information era where we have access to all sorts of information. So we feel like as the church, as the body of Christ, we need more information. And let me add a little caveat here. Like, I am all for it. Like, I love learning about God. I love learning about the Bible. I love learning about early church history. I love all of those things. But if we are missing the key ingredient, which is the power of the Spirit, then no one's going to change. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and just some context for Paul. He's the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's the Jew of the Jews. He knows everything. He's studied under the best. He's been the best, and he's smart. Like, I think they say he's equivalent of like 2 PhDs in Jewish scriptures. And he says this to the church in Corinth. He says, "And so it was with me, my brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or with human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I came to you with weakness and with great fear and trembling. And my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." I love that line. Like, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, which he has. He came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And that demonstration can look like a lot of different things. It can look like signs and wonders. It can look like miracles. It can look like a word of knowledge or prophecy. But did you notice what he said right in the beginning? I claimed the testimony about God. I told you my story. I told you how I was literally kicked off a high horse by Jesus himself, and I was blind. And then Ananias, some random guy, came up to me and gave me my vision back through the power of God. And then I spent years in the wilderness with the Spirit. And now I'm here from a persecutor of Jesus to a proclaimer of Jesus. That's my story. And I feel like for us, it's like we need to feel empowered to share our story. And what you're gonna hear today is students empowered to share their story. And I think you're gonna hear a few different things out of their story. I think the first thing you're gonna see is humility. You're gonna see humility in God's power in their lives. That it wasn't them who changed them. It was God himself. And then you're gonna see boldness. Boldness to proclaim their story in front of hundreds of people. Boldness to share what God has done in their life. And then ultimately, these students are so mature, they're so solid that they have reliance on God, that God will use their story. That it's not them, they just have to be a vessel to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim their story. And so my hope in this service is, yes, that we are excited and we're encouraged and we're built up that like there is hope for the next generation, but I also want, I want it to be a move to action, like a call to action for us. That we would hear this and then it would inspire us that there are some 17-year-old, 16-year-old students who wanna get on stage and share their story. Why can't I share mine? Why can't I share mine? With humility and boldness and with reliance on God's Spirit. So let me welcome up Tyler Holbrook. Grab that mic. Tyler's graduating from San Ramon Valley High School. Yeah, baby. Come on up. You feeling good?
Is that on?
There we go.
Yeah. Sweet.
Okay. I'm excited about Tyler. He is amazing. You're amazing, bro. You know I love you. Okay. Question one for you is, can you share your story and can you share it like through an emphasis or a lens of identity?
Yeah, so I think like most Danville kids, a lot of my early years were surrounded around sports. It's a very sports-centric community. I played basketball and baseball for the majority of my life, and kind of a big pivotal moment in my relationship with God was freshman year when, mostly on the basketball team, I kind of just felt like things just weren't really going the way I wanted to. It wasn't really like a struggle with the coaches or anything, but just like, kind of like my confidence and just kind of my play was just not up to where I had experienced in the past. And it was really kind of a pivotal moment for me because a lot of my identity was kind of wrapped up in sports. And so like not, and like I guess kind of the good things I felt about myself and about like, I don't know, like was wrapped up in play and stuff like that. And so it was kind of like, it exposed a lot of things about my relationship with God where like, I think I had a relationship that was more like I've heard it described as like a genie relationship where I went to him when I wanted to ask for something and then I kind of left him alone when things were good. And so I would ask God, hey, I want to play better, you know? Like why can't I just play better? The last 4 years it's been figuring out when do you ask God for stuff and when do you say that it's enough just to be with him, you know? But that's kind of been like, that was a big, like, kind of just deconstructing that tether hold that sports had with my identity was a very big pivotal moment for me. And I think it's been really positive because a lot of high school is figuring out who you are and who you want to be for the rest of your life in a way. And I don't really know if I can tell you what it is now, but I know it's not sports. That's probably a good thing.
That's so good. That's so good. The next question I have for you is about like the time during COVID. And obviously that was really tough for a lot of people and we learned a lot, you know. And I just want to ask, like, what did you learn looking back at 2020 and that whole season in general?
Yeah, so, I guess kind of at the beginning of it, I remember talking to Bill about Mexico and I was like, is Mexico going to happen? Because it was like kind of the beginning of like, what's going on? And Bill goes, we're going unless they shut down the border. And I'm like, awesome, let's do it. Well, and so I kind of blamed him for the last 2 years about that. But and so then it's kind of just like 2.5 month period where like we were just kind of like in question and what's going to happen. And it was, I mean, in a lot of ways, it was really hard because there's such an unknown about everything in life. But in some ways, it's like I'm kind of living my life trying to get back to that place where like my day, it was kind of just like all the expectations that you have about what you should do that is like more about other people, what they want you to do was just stripped away. And you just kind of got to figure out what do you want to do in life. And I mean, in some ways, it's kind of hard to discern the difference between those two. But like for me, my days kind of started out with, I wake up at like 10:30, which is prime time. Usually I would go for like a 2 hour walk and like listen to a sermon or listen to worship music and just like walk around Osage, which was just like such a great way to start my day. And I wish I did that more. And then like, I just like play guitar for like 5 hours, which I didn't realize it was that long until my mom would tell me like, you've been in your room for 5 hours playing guitar. I'm like, awesome. But yeah, it's just, it was a really, I mean, obviously it was really hard not being with friends. But in some ways it was just like such a blessing of an experience because I really got to just figure out like, what do I actually want to do with my life? What do I actually like to do? And the time is so frugal, like we don't have a lot of it. And so like, I don't want to waste my time doing things I'm doing to satisfy other people's expectations. And so it, you know, it ended up being a lot of music, and music is kind of, for me, it's kind of won over that time over sports. And it's made me a better person. And I like doing it way more. And I'm just so glad, like without that time frame, I don't know if that would have happened. I probably would still be pursuing sports to such a high degree.
Mm. So it's like almost like God using that COVID season to like reshape dreams and visions for your own future.
Totally. Yeah.
That's so good. Last question for you. If you know Tyler at all, you know that he loves the Bible. Like, I think the first time I like was sitting with him in one of our small groups, he was just like, I have just been reading the Old Testament. And he's like, it's the superior testament. Like, you really see the power of God in here, you know? And so I just wanted to ask you as like a friend is, what is a Bible verse? Because you love head knowledge, but you don't just let it sit there. You want it to sink into your heart. What is a Bible verse for you, or like a passage that sticks out to you and is like a key verse in your life that you're going to move forward with?
Yeah, so I guess on this question, this is more of something that I'm in the middle of. Those two things are kind of in the past, so you're kind of catching me in the middle of this. But a verse that's really been pivotal for me in the last year or so is Hebrews 4:15-16. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every way has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in every time of need.
Amen.
Such a good word. But kind of so, I've been really blessed to have a lot of friends who I know love me. And honestly, I would find it amazing if I had that in any time in my life. But I think in high school especially, it's like, I know a lot of people don't have that. And so I find myself like very very fortunate to have that. One of the things that I've kind of discovered over the last year or so is this kind of like difference between like being loved and being known though. And I feel like being loved is something that like all my friends can do for me. And I know they will do anything for me and I know they care about me. But there's something about being known that I feel like takes a set of shared experiences and shared ways of processing things. And so like there's some things that I've gone through over the last year where I'll tell it to one of my friends and they'll say they're sorry and I know they mean it, but there's no like deeper sense of empathy there because they have never gone through anything of that sort. And it's the same way and vice versa. I've had friends who've come up to me like talking about struggles with their parents and I'm like, I'm really sorry, but I can't do anything for you because I don't know what that's like at all. You know, there's nothing I can do like on a deeper level for you. An experience that I had one time was actually with Elijah, who's gonna come up and share later. It was after one of our small groups and he came up to me afterwards and he was just started crying. He said, I prayed that God would show me how much you're in pain right now. And it was really hard because that was the first time that someone's cried with me in that way. And kind of what this verse has meant for me is that it's evidence, like Jesus is evidence that God cared enough to know us. I think in the Old Testament, we see that God loves us and he has power, but like Jesus chose experiences so I can see him and say he cares enough to know what I'm going through. It's more significant than what I'm going through because I'm just playing with the cards that I'm dealt, and Jesus chose his hand. Like he chose the experiences that he went through so that so I can see him and I can find some sort of shared empathy with him. That honestly, I think one of the things I've learned too is like, that's only meant for me and him. Like I don't need to find that in other people because it's not gonna happen. Like I'm not gonna find someone else who can understand my emotions and can understand the way I process things. And I hope I do, but I don't have to bank on that because I know that I have that in Jesus. Just think there's a kind of friendship and a kind of closeness that's only between me and him. I'm still trying to believe that in a lot of ways. It's still hard when I find myself it's so isolated, even within my own friendships because of just the differences between us and the differences between our experiences. But that's been something that I've kind of been leaning up against for the last year.
That's so good. You're amazing, bro. What's your, what's next for you?
Yeah, so I'm going to American University at Washington, D.C. to study political science. So give me 5 years and vote for me.
That's so good. Thank you, bro. Thank you for sharing.
I love you, bro.
Come on up, Brooks. Nope. Sorry. Come on up, Elijah. I have like the list and I just... Elijah is graduating from San Ramon Valley High School.
Yes, sir.
He's amazing. How you doing?
Great.
You excited?
So excited.
Good. Elijah, can you tell me your story?
Yeah. So I grew up in a Christian household with two parents that love the Lord. And as a lot of you guys who have grown up in Christian homes know, there comes a time when you gotta find that relationship for yourself and grow with your own relationship with God. And for me, that was in middle school when times were just tough, like going through struggles with who I am as a person and not having too many friends and feeling alone. But I always had like youth group to come to, and I always knew that CPC was home.
What youth group was that you would go to?
That was Wildside, right here. Yeah,
I know that one.
Let's go. Yeah, so through those trials and through like CPC and our youth groups and going to camp and just talking to people, I have come to know the Lord and love him so much and grown in my own relationship with him, so yeah.
That's so good. I was thinking about how like being a Christian can feel like waves sometimes, especially early on, because it's just like you have this big rush of passion like from a week of camp, and then you kind of get back to like the, you know, the humdrum daily life or whatever. Can you talk about like those waves a little bit in your own experience?
Yeah. So one time that was definitely a kind of a, the lower part of those waves was quarantine when that hit, because I'm a pretty big extrovert. I love hanging out with people, love seeing my friends. And when COVID hit, that all went out the door. So I didn't know where to go really. So kind of was just lost going through life. I was fighting with my parents a bunch and just not in a great place and just didn't know where to turn. And then God came and pursued me because that's what he always does. And I got the text from Caleb. Hey, I'm starting a leaders group. I think I want you to join. And that first Zoom call in my room with my little cappuccino in my hand.
How long was that Zoom call?
4 hours, there you go, yeah. It was a little long, but.
We were all ready to just like punch the camera, but I just was like, keep going.
Yeah, that first meeting really just changed my relationship and helped me rekindle the fire I had with God, so I could continue to grow with him, even though, like, life is tough during quarantines, especially for extroverts, and yeah, it just really helped me rekindle it with God and have somewhere else to turn to and to somewhere to go when I didn't have the things that I had always counted on in life.
So good. You love camp.
I love camp.
Tell me your most memorable camp experience, or one of them.
Yeah, so.
By the way, this camp experience is amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. So this year, we went to Hume Lake, as a lot of you guys know, and that is my place. Like, my parents both work there, so I've been going there since I was little, and I love Hume Lake, and I hope to work there, and Hume's just the best, and I love it so much. And we went, and while we were there, there were some issues with some people, like...
Yeah, like respect issues.
Like respecting the girls, and just, it just really hit me, especially because, like, my sister was there. And so I really felt called by the Lord to talk to the girls, just, like, from one person their age to them. So... me and Tyler and Brooks, who is coming up next, went and asked Caleb if we could speak to them. So during church time, one of the days, we just got up on the stage with just all the girls and just talked to them about their identity in God and just what they're worth and how much value they have and what they mean and what godly men look like and what they should be looking for and some stuff like that. And it was just... it was an amazing experience, especially like having my sister come up to me after. And yeah.
You're a man, bro.
Thanks, kid.
What's next for you?
Next year, I'm gonna be going pretty far away over to South Carolina. And shouldn't have looked at my mom. Yeah, and I'm going to North Greenville University. I'm going to be playing volleyball there and, like, living out my dreams, so yeah.
Let's go.
Pretty cool.
You're the man. So good. All right, last but definitely not least is Brooks Fisher, graduating from Monta Vista.
Oh, yeah.
Come on up, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Brooks has the most calming voice. Like, when he starts sharing, it's like a radio. I wish I had like a Bible, like him just reading the Bible to me, like all the time. I know you would. Okay. Brooks, can you tell us your story with like a little bit of an emphasis on community in your life?
Yeah, so around like fifth grade or something, my family and a few other families, we left CPC and like started our own church plant. And through that church, it ran for like 6 or 7 years. And in that church,
What was the church plant called?
Oh, it was called Soma.
Some of these guys remember.
Yeah, we were awesome. Just over in wherever we were. I forget. It's fine. but in that church, I had like a great community. I knew everyone. I like had an amazing youth pastor. And through that church, I just like grew my community and started to really build the foundation of my faith. And unfortunately, in like 7th or 8th grade, it just dissolved just because of reasons. But then my family went through a time for like three years where we just didn't have a community. And we were searching for that in other churches. And I mean, eventually we found a great community. But in that time, God just showed me how important having a solid community is in my life and how much that's needed. Like the Proverbs 27, I believe, it's just iron sharpens iron, one man should sharpen another. And just the importance of having community and other people to build you up in God. And it's like, what was that? When two are more gathered, God will be there. So just all of these verses that just show how important it is to have a group of fellow believers just to build you up and learn from.
And you have an amazing community now.
Oh, I have the best community now.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You had an experience in Mexico after some like trouble and at home and stuff, where you felt like God move in a really profound way. Can you can you share that with us?
Yeah. So Mexico freshman year for me, that was my second year going, and I mean I love Mexico. It's the best week of my life every year. But previously, like 6 months beforehand, my dad got diagnosed with prostate cancer. So in Mexico, I was processing all the emotions with that. Also just issues with friends and dealing with all that. And I remember very vividly, it was the Tuesday night and you were speaking. I don't remember what you were talking about, but it must have been really good because...
Never remember what I say, just how you felt.
Exactly. Right? And I remember exactly how I felt afterwards. I just sat on the bleachers around the campfire and just bawled my eyes out for like 2 hours because I just felt the calming presence and love of God. And it was like this huge weight had just been lifted off of me. And for a first time in like a long time, I just felt immense peace and just this insane calmness that I've never felt before. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this is God, like here. And I was just crying because I was just struck by his love and power and peace.
That is a good story, bro. That's a good testimony. Okay, take your last 4 years. What did you take away from it in like a spiritual sense? What did you take away from it? And then what do you hope to implement into the next season of your life?
Yeah, so I mean, through the leaders group with you and the other seniors and tons of other people, I've been trying to like talk with God more and learn from him. And like when I was younger, I always thought like, oh, it'd be so cool if I could like hear from God like audibly or like connect with him through worship. But I've come to realize more and more that I speak with God the most and like connect with him through his word. So I've been really trying to dive in and just get better at reading and get better at understanding what he has for me just from like actually reading the Bible.
Where are you right now in your Bible reading?
I'm reading through Luke right now because I'm like, I just want to know more about Jesus and what he did on earth. And yeah, learn more about him that way.
You are such a stud, bro. I wish I could get everyone to read their Bible like you do. What's next for you? Where are you going?
Yeah, next year I'm going to University of Oregon. I'm studying sports business and I'm going to be playing rugby there. So I'm super excited about that. Whew.
Thank you. Pretty good so far? Yeah. Sarah Ather, our middle school director, is going to come up and she's going to interview a couple more people and then we're going to be good to go. Sarah, come on up. Come on, give a hand for Sarah.
I hear Sally yelling. I love you, Sally. Are you guys having a great time? This is just the best and I'm just like silently crying in the front row. So now I'm going to invite up Jenna Reed, if you guys can give her a big round of applause. What's up, Jenna?
What's up, Sarah?
How you doing?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing great. All right, Jenna, can you start by just sharing a little bit about yourself? Tell us about you.
Okay, so my name is Jenna Reed, and I am a senior at San Ramon Valley High School. At the high school, I am on the girls' basketball team. I am the president of the club Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I am on the rally committee in leadership.
Amazing. Jenna's a baller, you guys. Literally basketball, but in other things. So Jenna, I know I met you your freshman year, and I know that freshman year was a huge part of your story and your relationship with Jesus. So can you share with us a little about that?
Yes. So going into my freshman year is the first time I was eligible to attend the houseboat trip there. And I went on this trip, and for those of you who can recall, Joe Cole was speaking. That guy was awesome. And he was preaching a lot on the importance of being a daughter in Christ and kind of explaining what that meant. And I had come from a background of Catholic faith, and so I had an understanding of what it meant to be a daughter of the Lord, but I didn't really truly get what it felt like to be a daughter of the Lord. And as I was at Houseboats and just kind of experiencing like this different style of worship and prayer and community is when I really started to understand like what my walk of faith could look like and what pursuing a relationship with the Lord could be like. And I think from there is just when my faith kind of took off, and then I started getting a lot more involved in CPC, and then I would come to Rock, and then I started volunteering at Wildside, and this leaders group that Caleb and everybody else has talked about, I was a part of, and it was just awesome.
That's awesome. I know that for all of us who would say we follow Jesus, we know that that is a daily decision to pursue him. And I know that's something that I just really admire about you, is the ways that you do choose to pursue Jesus in your day-to-day life. So for you, how do you stay close to Jesus? How do you pursue him? What does that look like for you?
I would say that the biggest ways that I do that are through community and quality time. Back to this leaders group, man, this is probably one of the best things that has ever happened to me. So get the text, and then we're on this Zoom call for a good 4 hours. I remember my friend Gianna Leontini, she moved to Texas about a year and a half ago. She can't be here, but it's like pushing hour three of this 4 hour Zoom call, and we're like, we gotta go. Like, how do we get off this call? And little did I know that this would turn into probably one of the greatest communities that I've ever been a part of. And it's just really stressed me the importance of like being surrounded by people who you love, who also love God. And it's just been really special being a part of that. And then I would also say quality time. I think that oftentimes when we picture spending time with the Lord, we think about like having a designated time and spot, and although all of that is good, I think I've found that some of my best encounters with the Lord have happened truly in like my 5-minute drives to and from school, or just going anywhere throughout the Danville. And I think, yeah, I've just really had some of my greatest encounters with him then, because I know that it doesn't take like a big, like pivotal moment to just sit there and be in the presence of the Lord. It can happen quickly through a worship song or just one prayer. And I think that has really been a big thing for me, because even in the midst of situations, you can just stop and pray, or stop and listen to worship, or read your Bible. And it's crazy what the Lord can do in the little moments.
Amen. So good. Now, if you guys know Jenna, or you've ever had an interaction with her, Jenna can make a conversation with anybody. And that's something I really love about you, is that you love to make conversation with people. You love to ask them questions about their faith. You love to know who they are. And so I know when we were meeting about this, you told me a really cool story of a conversation that you started with someone that you didn't know very well. And it not only impacted you, but really impacted them, kind of like a ripple effect. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, I was at my friend Shaylin's grad party right over there. And my other friend, Kendall, she had brought her German cousin. And it was really cool, because everybody was like, oh, like, who's this person from Germany? Like, wants to know all about it. I was guilty of asking her to say a couple things in German. And we were sitting there having a conversation. And I asked the question about religion in Germany, because I was just curious. I didn't really know much. And then she proceeded to tell me that she wasn't really a part of a big church community. And she was talking about how when she's at church, the majority of the people that she's surrounded by are people much older than her. And as I started to tell her a little bit about CPC and Rock and Leaders Group and all that good stuff, she was very baffled by the fact that there are so many young people who attended church. And I told her about worship. She didn't know what that was. And I told her about small groups and different stuff like that. And in the middle of this conversation, this was on a Saturday, and then on a Sunday is when leaders group happens. I was telling her about it, that it's happening the next day, and I invited her to come. And she ended up attending, which was really cool. And while she was there, a couple people just took her under their wing and started giving her words of encouragement, and they started praying over her, and this was unlike anything she'd ever experienced before, and it brought her to tears. And it was just a really, really special moment for me, because she felt so moved by the presence of the Lord, and she felt so moved by the people in the community there that she was gonna go back to Germany, and she felt prompted to start her own group, which I thought was super cool. And I think it was super special for me, because it just started with a simple question. And I think that was really impactful for me, because you it just takes like these small opportunities that you get to take advantage of, and it leads to these big outcomes. And so I think definitely for me, like in sharing my faith, that was a big moment, because a lot of things can come from it and you just never know.
So good. Come on. I love that, Jenna, because I think that even just shows the power of invitation. And so when we experience community, whether it's here at church or in small groups, huge things can happen when we just choose to invite somebody. That's amazing. So Jenna, what's next for you next year?
Next year, I'm attending CU Boulder and I'm majoring in communications.
Woo, thank you, Jenna. All right, last but certainly not least, I'm going to invite up Jillian Nava. First of all, Jillian has the voice of an angel. Did you guys hear her in that last song? And please notice, Jillian and I are matching today. I just really thought that was awesome. All right, Jillian, will you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, my name is Jillian Nava. And I have grown up in the church, but not like normal people, because I was a staff kid. So I was there about 7 days a week for like 5 hours a day. It was great. I also was a competitive dancer for 11 years, and I have always loved volunteering. I have been volunteering since fourth grade, starting at my old church, and now I volunteer. I sing for Rock, Wildside, and the adult service sometimes, and I also lead the sixth grade girls small group at Wildside.
And I'm so thankful for you. Thank you. All right, Jillian, like you said, you grew up in the church, and for those of us who have done that, we know that there needs to come a point when we make a decision for ourselves to follow Jesus, not because our parents do or that's what we're surrounded by, but because we actually want it. So for you, when was that point when you were like, I am all in, I'm going to follow Jesus for myself?
It was actually the past summer. For context, I moved to Danville right before freshman year. Not only did I move schools, but I had to move churches because my mom lived here, and so she couldn't take me to the other church. I had lost basically my small group and all my friends. And that was really hard for me because I learned that I actually wasn't extroverted like I thought I was. I was definitely introverted. And I came one Sunday and Caleb asked if I wanted to go to Rock. So I decided to try it out freshman year, and I only went a few times because I learned that people are scary to me. especially big crowds, I tended to have panic attacks actually because of just everything going on was so overwhelming. And so I stopped going to Rock. I stopped going to church because I just didn't want anything to do with it. And I got to the point where I was really upset with God for making me move. And I didn't want anything to do with him. Every time someone talked about God, I looked the other way. Nobody could convince me to come to church at that point. And then COVID hit and dance stopped. So I really was alone. I had never felt that alone in my entire life. I didn't talk to anybody. I cut myself off from my phone. The only thing I was really doing was school. And that was probably the lowest point of my life so far. And then COVID started ending a little bit more, and Thursday nights, we had worship rehearsal, and they asked me to come to do slides because I'm related to my mom, and she was already singing, and I tended to get sat next to Caleb and Wyatt, and they teased the heck out of me, let me tell you. They're like my older brothers. They were trying to convince me to sing at Rock, to go at Rock, to attend church. And I was like, you guys need to leave me alone. Like, get out of my face, please. But they ended up asking if I wanted to go to Hume Lake. And Hume Lake is probably one of my favorite places ever. My old church used to go there. So I was a little on board. And I knew most of the leaders going, so I decided to go. And right when I got there, I hated everything about it. I did not like my cabin group at all. They were the super seniors, which love them now. But I decided to ditch my group basically the whole week. I only talked to adults. When I didn't, I would go on a bench and like go to bed. So like nobody could find me ever. And it was a week of a lot of spiritual warfare. I was crying constantly. I like could not figure out why I felt like I couldn't breathe. And it got to the point where I wanted to leave, like, so badly. I called my mom. I was like, you have to come pick me up because I can't take it anymore. But I got to the last night, and I was sitting there, and there was a time of silence for everybody. You just sat there and thought of whatever. And so I was like, let me just try this Christian thing really quick. And I'm gonna pray for the first time in 3 years. And when I pray, I just kind of surrendered everything to God. And at that moment, I heard the words, "You are not alone." And that was really hard for me to hear because I felt like I was alone for so long. And I started sobbing. And I just felt like the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders and I didn't have to deal with it anymore. And after worship, the girls were excused, but the guys had to stay. And right when I turned around, Caleb was there with open arms, just ready to hug me. And he, it was just the most I've felt loved in the past 4 years.
Thank you for sharing that, Jillian. That's really beautiful. All right, my last question for you is, I know that community is really important to you. And I think that's part of the reason why you love volunteering and being on those teams is because you see the value of being in the community that Jesus calls us to. And so why do you think that being in community as a believer is so important? Why should we do that?
I think that community is so important. It's basically one of your foundations of being a Christian. I just go back to the time when it was right after a worship night and everyone was going to Shane's house for dinner. And I had just told Shane at his house that I decided to quit dance after 11 years to pursue my journey with Christ and volunteering for everything I volunteer for now. And he just looked at me and was like, "Can I pray for you?" And I was like, "Okay." And then he stood up and told everyone to gather around me and put a hand on me. People that I didn't know or just met that day or knew for the past like year. And I was like freaked out. I was like, "I know this is not what I wanted." But as they started praying for me, I knew that I made the right decision about quitting dance because I just felt this overwhelming like love from people that I didn't even know. And I knew then, like, wherever you go, you're just gonna have this wonderful community of Christians who love and support you through whatever you do. And that's really all you can ask for in life.
Amazing. What's next for you?
I'm going to Washington State University to study zoology.
Zoology, so cool. Thank you, Jillian. All right, you guys, as we close our service this morning, I hope that you are feeling encouraged, and I hope that you're feeling encouraged in a couple ways. One, like Caleb has said, our students are amazing. Amen? Amazing. And so, yeah, let's give them one more round of applause. If I can just say to you guys personally, thank you for sharing your stories. It is not easy to get up into a room full of people and get up and share some really hard and difficult parts of your story. And so thank you. And I really admire you guys. And for the rest of us, when I was praying about this service, the Lord really put something on my heart that I just wanted to share with you. And like Caleb was teaching about, it's so important to share our stories. But I think there's this danger in feeling like our stories, our personal ones, are either too messy or even that they're not messy enough. Maybe we feel like, God, I didn't start from somewhere super low and then end up somewhere super high. We feel like we've kind of just been on this kind of even journey for our lives. And so I just want to encourage you that no matter what your story looks like, it is your story. And the reason we share our stories is because it's testament to what Jesus has done and who he is. And so when you share your story, it's not even really about us, but it's all about who God is and how good he is. And so I hope you're encouraged and empowered to go out and share your stories, because Jesus works in powerful ways when we have the courage to do that. So will you guys stand with me as I pray and we'll close out our service. God, I thank you for this amazing time. I thank you that today is the day we get to celebrate our students, God, and the ways that you have crafted their lives and their stories. I thank you for the five who shared today, God, their hearts for you. Truly, the way they love you is so evident. And so, God, we pray a blessing over them and over all of our seniors as they go out into this next chapter of their lives, God. We pray that they continue to every single day walk with you and feel like they know you more and more. And God, I pray that as we leave this place, you will empower us, God, to share our stories. Whether we feel like our stories are big or small, God, I pray that you give us courage, that you empower us, that you give us eyes to see the people that you want us to share those stories with. We thank you that you are always working in us, God, that you tell us that you are not done yet with us. And so I pray that we continue to look for the ways that you are working in our lives, and we're encouraged and reminded that you are faithful and that you are good and that you never change, God. So we love you and we give this day to you. In your name, amen. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Have a great day.